Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Amen, amen, amen. And we're also thankful for all of the speakers that come on to share the gospel or the good news. So we do thank each and every one of them for doing that. That is a blessing to the body of Christ, and not only to the body of Christ, but also to our ministry. Amen. We do thank them. So I'd like to take a moment to say that, acknowledge each and every one that comes on. I'd also like to inform you that we're an interactive Bible study. And what does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and you can participate. When the opportunity arises and the speaker opens up the mics, then he's opening up for a dialogue. Amen. So that means that you can come in and you can share whatever your thoughts or whatever God has placed on your heart so that we can all learn from each other. Amen, amen, amen. We do thank you for that. The call-in number, if you choose to do that, is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, if you are not able to say anything, well, I need to let you know that oftentimes we normally open all the mics, but we're going to have all the mics muted until the speaker gives us the acknowledgement to open up the mics, and then once we open up the mics, you can just talk. But normally, you would have to hit the number one. We also like to inform you that, or make sure that everyone is taking care of yourself and you don't become too comfortable during these trying times. Amen. Making sure that you wash your hands as well as wearing a mask or wearing a mask wherever you are going. And also, do not forget about social distancing. Amen. I think that as things are beginning to open up, many people are becoming a lot more comfortable in these times. But you want to be careful, all right? You're not only protecting yourself, but you're also protecting others and your loved ones. So we do ask that you would make sure that you're cognizant of that. Do not let your guards down. Amen. We want you around for how many other years old that you are? Double that. Amen. We want to see you. We want to hear from you. Amen. We want to be able to laugh about it. Amen. Because God is doing a new thing, and I'm just anxious to see what God is going to do through all of this. Amen. As we get ready to move forward, the next voice that you will hear will be Pastor Reginald C. A. Miles from New Milford, New Jersey. He's been on before, of course. Many of you, or most of you, are familiar with him. Amen. He's very vocal about the Word of God. He's very compassionate about the Word of God. And today we have him. He's bringing the Word. And his topic is power in being under authority. And he's coming from Luke 7, 1 through 10. Amen. So get your Bibles, so that you can follow along and make sure that you can get fed. We do not want you to get up from the table and you're still hungry. Amen. But I'm sure that you're going to get a word this evening. Okay, we're going to move on over into, also like to let you know that if you would like to share this message or any other message, you can go into the archive. Once you go into the archive, you would type in Blog Talk Radio, and then once you type in Blog Talk Radio, the URL is We Can Begin Again, and you can pull up this message and share it with a friend. Amen. There's no greater blessing than when you bless someone else, especially when they're going through, or when you don't know what they're going through. Only God knows what they're going through. But being able to bless them through the Word of God. Amen. The Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen. So we cannot forget about that. Other messages we have.
If you've received a text from us, the link is in the text, and you can forward the text to your friends and family. We're on Facebook as well, and that can be shared as well on any social media site.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over into New Milford, New Jersey. Amen. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, Brother Moderator, can you hear me?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Amen. God bless.
We're going to move on out of the way.
I thank you once again for allowing me the opportunity that God has placed upon your heart for me to share what the Lord has placed in my spirit, man. One thing that I have said, and I said before, and I'll say again, many, if not all, of the sermons that or messages I have been through some things of me, of trials and tribulations and things that I go through. I wanted to actually preach ever since I was 11 years old. My great uncle, I call him, I consider my grandfather, and wanted to emulate and wanted to preach, like I said, since I was 11. However, if I knew back then what I knew now, I would not have prayed for that bequest. Because that which a preacher goes through, I'm not talking about the preacher that's in it for the fish and the loaves. I'm not talking about that kind of preacher. I'm talking about the preacher that lives what he's preaching. Or does it to the best of his or her ability, then realizes that they can't do this thing alone. They need some power from somewhere.
Amen.
And when I was actually going through the scriptures and the Lord laid upon my heart Luke 7, there was many different angles in which the Lord has taken me in. Honestly, I don't know which way he's going to take me on it now because I have so many things, but I'm going to let go and let God on this. So please join me for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we come to you humbly but yet boldly to the throne of grace, thanking you once again for last night's lying down and the uprise on today. Lord, for some people have laid down last night, and somebody who did not know you in the pardon of their sins have slept their way to hell. For they decided to not accept Jesus. But Lord, we thank you once again. You gave us another turn at the wheel called life. And for that, we thank you. We thank you for the roof over our head. We thank you for the food that's on the table. We thank you for the shoes that are on our feet, the clothes that are on our back. We thank you for everything that even keeps us clean because you made everything. Thank you for the cleaning of the water, the soap, and even your word that washes us pure as white as snow. Now, Lord, we ask that anything inside of us that's not like you,
yes,
Lord, we ask that you remove it. Lord, we ask that you get our spirit man ready and make it good ground to receive your word. So that it was over, said and done. All that we have heard and all that we have prayed, we can just continue to eat it up, digest it, and live it out to the glory of your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord to the moderator, to his wonderful wife. As you know, I call her Sis Reverend Doctor. To all of you who are listening, I greet you in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, if you are under sound of my voice right now, if I never met you in person, I love you. Now you may say, preacher, how do you love me? You don't know me. I have love appropriated for you. Have love appropriate for everybody. Because my God told me I'm supposed to love everybody. I ask that you get your Bible and you turn to the gospel according to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to read the first 10 verses. And I'm going to read from the King James text. Now, if you have heard me before, I don't believe in reading scripture just to prove to you I can read. I don't read to prove I have an education. There's people that do that when they read the word. You know, they preaching to preachers. They ain't preaching to the sheep. Well, I'm a sheep preacher. And we're going to let the word of God minister to us just through reading. Just give me a little time to turn to it. Luke chapter 7. And we are going to start at verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he went unto him, the elders of the Jews. Now I have, he went unto him, the elder of the Jews, underlined in my Bible. I'm going somewhere with that. Beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation. And he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him. In my Bible, I have the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shalt come into my roof. Wherefore, neither I thought myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, and having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found no great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And you already know the topic. I want to talk about power and being under authority. Mm-hmm. The 10th of June this year marked 32 years when I graduated basic training in the United States Army. With my education, when I went in, I went in with some rank. So when I set day one into basic training, I had soldiers under me. I just didn't know what to do with them, but I had the authority. As time went on and I got the training, I had some soldiers under me. And it feels good to want to be in charge. There are many people today who say, I want to own my own business because I do not want to work for anybody. I want to be the head person in charge. Well, I can understand that to a certain degree. But understand something. When you are the person that's in charge and a problem comes up, everybody's looking at you to fix it. You can't go nowhere else. You can't go any higher. But if you are a person that's under authority, you may have more power than you think. Because there is something in the corporate world, in the military world, there's a thing that's called the chain of command. And when you go through the chain of command, you may not have the ability or the wherewithal to take care of it. You're able to go up higher to someone who will take care of it for you. See, you have the power at that time as you being the chain of influence. You already have a certain level of power just by you being in the position that you are. But many people don't want that. They want to be, and you heard this term before, they want to be the HNIC. They want to buck the stock with them. No, you can't get a McDonald's hamburger. You got to go through me. But okay. Remember, pride come before the fall. See, many people just power hungry. But if you are under authority and willing to be under authority, but yet understand your position, have people under you, then you got some true power. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, let's look at the scripture. Let's get some nuggets out the text here. Here we have a centurion soldier. Let's call him a commander. Many people see today like as a sergeant. A sergeant has a squad. He has sometimes, he or she has about maybe 6, 7, 8 soldiers in their squad. And they'll tell them, go, and they'll go. They tell them, come, they'll come. They give them this tasking to do, and they'll do that tasking. However, if that sergeant and that soldier is having conflict, and that soldier decides that he or she does not want to do what they were told, then the sergeant has people above him that can have that soldier to do what needs. You see, that sergeant is in authority, but yet under authority. Now they turn into the chain of influence, still being in the chain of command. Now, this commander, as I would like to call him for this text, had someone that, let's say, he loved. And he was dying. But he heard of Jesus. Well, you may say, preacher, how did he hear of Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. If you go on over in the book of Luke, that's why I love Luke so much. If you go over to Dr. Luke, you'll see in chapter 1, somewhere around verse 3, where the things that Luke wrote them in chronological order after interviewing people. And he wrote this gospel according to Luke, which is really actually a letter to someone called Theophilus. Verse 2 talks about how he actually interviewed him, who eyewitnessed what was going on, and he says in verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, that the very first to write unto thee in order, to write in order, most excellent Theophilus. So what Luke was writing, he was writing things in order. That's how this commander knew about Jesus, because if you go through the gospel according to Luke and you go somewhere and you start around chapter 4 and you go to verse 31, you'll see 7 times that Jesus did some things. Jesus either healed, he cast out demons, he cast out unclean spirits, he forgave people, man of paralysis, he healed. All you've got to do is go through that gospel up to chapter 7. Now, you know that Jesus was the talk of the town. So he actually heard of Jesus. Now, him being a man under authority, he was also a humble man. Mm-hmm. Well, how do I know he was humble? Let's look at the text again. He said in verse 3, remember I told you my Bible, it says, he said the elders of the Jews, this man here, mm-hmm. he wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, he says, Jesus, people will go see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to him, you should do this for him. He's worthy. He loves our nation. He built us a synagogue. As he went, Jesus heard. And as Jesus came forth with the multitude, with the crowd, the man still humbled out. And then he sent his friend. And he sent his friends just like he sent the elders of the Jews. He sent them with a message. And in the message, he turned around, he said to them, he didn't find himself worthy, or he didn't find it worthy for Jesus to come under the roof. And he did not feel that he could even come to Jesus himself. The humility this man had to get to Jesus. But now here's a man that's in authority. He tell one to go, he go. Come, he come. Do this, he does it. But this man had enough sense enough to humble out when it came to Jesus. When he actually gets that message to Jesus, I believe that what he said to Jesus actually took some virtue out of Jesus. I believe, and we know Jesus is not dead. He's very much alive today as he was then. But I believe something quickened on the inside of Jesus when Jesus got the message. And it falls under verse 8 when he says, For I also am a man set under authority.
Mm-hmm.
I believe just in that statement alone, that put a jolt in Jesus. Well, you say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, let's look at verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he was marveled. And I took that word marvel and I looked it up. I took it into Greek. Jesus had an admiration for the statement that he made. I believe Jesus had an admiration for the statement that he made because he knew that that Gentile had a revelation of who Jesus really was. Mm-hmm. Even though he knew from talk that went on about Jesus, he knew that the demons were subject to Jesus. He knew that all sickness and ailment was subject to Jesus. He knew that all he had to do was speak a word, and whatever was wrong would have to get right because of the power Jesus had. But many of us see Jesus as the one with all of the power. Mm-hmm. Other ones see Jesus as his job was supposed to actually be here to die, to save us from our sins. But that's not all Jesus was for. Jesus also came to us and showed us how we are to get it done. Think about what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew, the 10th chapter, starting at verse 1. When you read about him and disciples, he gave them power to cast out unclean spirits and to heal the land and heal the people. So when the disciples actually did what they were supposed to do after Jesus gave them power, They were off. They were in authority, but yet they was also under authority.
Mm-hmm.
And when they spoke in whose name? They spoke in the name that was above every name, in the name of Jesus. Even though they were in authority, they had the power because they were under authority. Many people believe that Jesus Christ himself did all of the healing. I submit to you today, Jesus did not do all of the healing. Even though that's the way it's preached, that's the way we read it, that's the way we see it, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus had all of the power. Why? Because Jesus was under authority. But I thought Jesus was the authority. His name is under authority, but it came from his daddy, God the Father. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, hang a right turn to the Acts of the Apostles. And turn to chapter 2. See, Jesus showed us how to get it done. See, there's power in being under authority. And Jesus showed us this because he was obedient unto the cross. And when he came up out the grave, what did he have? All power in his hand. Because he was under authority. He submitted himself to be under authority. So if you are under authority and you feel you don't have no power, you have more power than you recognize that you have. I'm just hoping to give you a way to look at this totally differently. Pray on me. Go back over the scripture again and see what the Lord reveals to you. Go to verse 22 in Acts, second chapter. If you take a look on there, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So all of the miracles that Jesus did came from God. Why? Because he was obedient. He was under authority. So my question to you is, seeing what scripture is saying, and seeing that the military commander knew of Jesus, I really and truly believe that he caught a revelation of who Jesus really and truly was, not being of the house of Israel. You see, sometimes we can be of the same house and it'll take someone on the outside to take a look and tell you what you really and truly have. And many people on the outside look on the inside seeing what you truly and really have because we on the inside don't want to give the reverence and respect to that which we have. But I really believe that this commander said, even these ailments bow down to him because he's under authority. And his power got to come from somewhere. Jesus was under authority. And he was showing us that being under authority, we have the power. And if by chance we don't have the power we think, all we got to do is take it to the one that has it. Why? Because we're under authority. Man brought his son to disciples. They couldn't cast out the demon. Why couldn't they cast out the demon? Scripture's very clear. Jesus asked the question. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. It's not that they couldn't do it. It was because of their unbelief. The power. Now, Brother Moderator, please open up the mics before I go any further. I know I've given quite a bit on tonight, and if someone would like to elaborate on something, please. Questions, comments, concerns. Do you want to be in authority? or do you want to be under authority? Because there's power in being under authority, as the scripture has shown. The lines are open.
All mics are open.
Oh, I take it that you're eating this up, digesting it, so that you could prepare to live it out.
It's good. It's good. God bless you, Pastor Miles. It's good. This is a good word, great word, excellent word, because Jesus is our example. And you're saying we have the authority, but he had the authority and he was under authority, and that's where we should be, under the management and authority of God. And through Christ Jesus, he's the seal, but God is the one. And I like how you put it. I mean, you said a lot here tonight, but this is good meat for us to eat and digest and ingest, because we all want to be under authority and have that authority to call those things that be not as though they are. And authority to speak a word, and the word heals, delivers, and sets free. Because as even Jesus in his, even though he was God himself, but he was in a man suit, I'll say it like that. And because he was in a man suit, he showed us coming under subjection to the obedience of God. And when we do that, I want to say so much. This is so good.
Talk.
This is so good.
I want to take you back to verse 8. I didn't
Come
really
on.
Break that down for you the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Maybe I missed it. Come on, break it.
No, I don't think anyone missed it. I just didn't bring it across
I'm
the way I wanted
me.
To.
I don't know about anybody else. But go ahead.
But when I caught this revelation, I was on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. Amen.
Verse 8. Let's look at what that commander told his friend to tell Jesus. He said in verse 8, "For I am a man set under authority."
Mm-hmm.
Then when he says that, he gives the things that he said that he tells them to do, and they do it. But he says, "I am a man set under authority." I believe that commander knew that Jesus' power didn't come from him. It came from someone else, because he knew the value of military obedience, hierarchy, and power.
Protocol. That's good.
Because he said, "I am a man under power, and I took authority." Mm-hmm. I told you, I went back and I went into my Greek library, and it says, appointed. I am a man appointed. This is the commander. I am a man appointed under authority.
Yes.
Obedient to authority.
Yes.
Jesus was appointed from his Father to be obedient under authority.
Yes.
When I caught that revelation yesterday, while I was half watching Greenleaf on the rerun, that hit me. I had to pause Greenleaf.
Mm-hmm.
I know little kids outside thought I was crazy. I thought they thought Mr. Miles was crazy. But when I caught that, I already believed that Jesus himself was already under the power of his daddy. because Jesus rose up from the grave from the power of his daddy. So Jesus was under authority to the obedience of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
See, y'all have got me started.
Go ahead on, Pastor. Go ahead on.
But when you want to turn around and you want to really get up under authority, we got to take it back to a hill called Calvary.
All right now. Amen.
Now, I know how we like to say, and I've talked about this before, we want to look to the hills. from whence cometh our help, and I talked about that. But that ain't the hill we need to look to. The hill we need to look to is called Calvary.
Yeah. Called Calvary.
Because Jesus was obedient to the cross. Jesus Christ himself was obedient to where he talked about the malefactor. Today thou will be with me on paradise.
Ooh,
he was obedient. They whipped him, but he was obedient.
My God.
They sold his clothes, but he was obedient. Don't you think that I could pray to my Father, he'd send down legions of angels, but he didn't. Why? Because he was obedient. He was under authority.
Yes, under authority.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He was God and he was man. They said they was mixing together. I submit to you, Jesus was man with a perfect spirit.
My God. Amen. Yes.
That's why he didn't sin. He didn't sin because he had a perfect spirit, man. Now, was he born with that? No. He grew into that. And he was letting us know that we can grow into it too. Wasn't that a Bible character in the Old Testament that loved God so much God swooped him up through fire? So don't tell me it can't be done.
We have
to press to the mark of the high calling.
Amen.
And when we do that and we take ourselves and be a man or a woman, submitting ourselves under authority and being obedient, then and only then we're going to have the power that's needed.
Amen.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Why? Because you are at the right stage of emptiness for the Holy Spirit to fill on the inside. I'm going to shut up. Y'all go ahead.
I would like to say, ask a question. You know, it says, obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. And all government has been empowered by God. Now, I heard a lot of controversies about when they were shutting down everything. Some churches said it didn't apply to them because God was their authority and that they didn't want to shut up, close the churches down, okay, because it should be open 24/7 to the people. And the one pastor, I forget what state he was in, but he told his congregation that God would protect him. So when he opened the church, when he had service that same week, 3 days later he died. And then like 4 of his family members had the coronavirus. Now, people were saying that we should obey the government because it wasn't telling us to shut it down completely. But it was saying to close it because of the spread of coronavirus. And what do you think about that? Because I heard mixed emotions about the church being closed.
Okay, I'm glad you asked that question, Pastor.
It's good.
If you have your Bible, I'm going to let the scripture speak to that. I want you to turn in your Bible to Titus. Go to the book of Titus.
Titus what?
I want you to go to Titus, 3rd chapter.
Right living in society.
And I want you to read verse 1.
Remind your people to submit to the government and its officers. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. Okay? They must not speak of evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. I read 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Verse 1. I read from the King James. Put them in mind to be subject of principalities. That means rulers. And the powers. They have the authority. So if they are to tell you to do something that is not contrary to the word of God, we are to obey.
Right.
We are to obey that because that's obeying God. Okay, now when there are actual, there's another scripture I have to find for you. I may give it to Brother Moderator, and he has to put it out on a blast. But I'm not sure of it off the top of my head, but I think it's, give me one moment.
Isn't that scripture, render unto Caesar what is Caesar?
No, that's not
Isn't
the one I'm looking for.
Supposed to comply. I'm not saying comply with, if they told us to shut down, and that pastor, in my opinion, that pastor was wrong. He jeopardized the people that were around him and even himself. Now, if the authority of the nation was saying, don't, you know, congregate, so to speak, have your distancing, then he should have abided by that. And that's not taking any faith from us, you know, in God. But
I have the other scripture. I have the other scripture before we run out of time.
Okay.
Is it
1 Peter 2:13?
That's
it.
Let's open it up. What is it?
1 Peter 2:13-17.
That's
okay.
It.
What is it?
1 Peter, second chapter.
1 Peter 2:13-17.
That's it.
Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human situation, whether it be to the emperor or as supreme, or to the governor
even better.
By him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
it. We're supposed to obey that.
That's
now,
right.
people will say, well, and I've heard preachers say this, and all
what?
I can do is shake my head. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but yeah, he gave the spirit of a sound mind. And what you're trying to do is not of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's foolishness.
Amen.
And you know what? The church, we were told to quote not to attend the church building, but it doesn't mean we can. They never said, like, don't use your Bibles. We're going to burn the Bibles and everything, or don't worship.
Right.
That
mm-hmm.
has nothing to do. The church is in us. It's not that building.
Amen.
So to continue our worship, our praise, our meditation, our prayers should continue. Our relationship with the Lord has not been interrupted. Our earthly activities have been interrupted, but our relationship with Jesus Christ should not have been interrupted, because the church is with me. And when I gather with my husband, when I gather with you all on Blog Talk, when I'm on Zoom with the Zoom meetings, when I'm doing, I call it bedside Baptist, and watching the televangelists and the evangelists and the preachers on the computer, I'm practicing my faith, because the church
Amen.
Is in me. And
mm-hmm.
then we have to, we're not supposed to tempt God. And I just believe that the folks that are saying that, you know, the Lord expects us to use wisdom in all things. Just like with the Hebrews, when they painted, you know, to protect the firstborn, and they were told to stay in, and the blood
mm-hmm.
was put on, you know, the house, as the
mm-hmm.
As the death passed through. Now, there could have been
mm-hmm.
some folks that said, well, you know, the Lord, I'm a believer, so I'm going to do so and so, but you were told to stay in.
Right.
The authority.
Open
to stay in. And I think that I feel the same way this, that we should do what we're supposed to do and not tempt God. We're not testing God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And another thing, I tell you though, some pastor wanted people to come because they thought that their finance would go down. But when God is in the picture, God is going to touch the hearts of the people. So you don't have to worry about that, because if you're doing the right thing for the Lord, he looks out for his children.
Amen.
That's why I have said this before. I have said this to one or two other preachers. I ain't said it to too many. I said to one or two other preachers, I confide and they confide in me and things. But a lot of these churches that was rushing to open up, they was rushing for the gospel of the dollar bill.
Yeah, that's right.
They were opening up and wanted to open up for the fish and the loaves.
Yeah, right.
That's why they was opening up.
Yes, Lord have mercy.
And I said, now that house of prayer is open up for the wrong reason.
My, that's
right.
You know, I was talking to a preacher yesterday or day before yesterday, and had a lengthy conversation. There's many preachers in here that are in positions that they politicked their way into.
Lord.
They politicked their way into. And I really believe, I don't have any concrete evidence on this, but I really believe Greenleaf is a spitting image of what's going on today, and they're telling too much truth. That's why they got snatched. Because many years ago, there was a show on ESPN called Players, and they were showing some truth about NFL, and they snatched it off of one season. They were telling too much truth. And I really believe Greenleaf got snatched this is final season because it's telling too much truth.
Well, I believe that God, this is a new way God, you know, it's a lot of people that I say the elderly people and the sick and the shut-in sometimes can't get to church. And I know when I was sick last year with blood clots, and praise the Lord, it wasn't this year.
Thank you.
But I couldn't get people from my church when I got better to pick me up. My daughter was in an accident. I had been in the church for at least 15 years. My daughter was in an accident, and so she tore up my car, and she was sick. She was hurt and everything, so I had nobody but my grandson couldn't drive, and he was going to school on Sundays, on the weekends, too. So I called my church. I couldn't get anybody to come and get me. And I was really hurt.
Sure.
I know some people live in not too far in Bedford that was not too, you know, in Warrensville. And it's not, they all had excuses. And I said, Lord, have mercy. I said, that's all right. I can worship my Lord at home. And I can get on the internet and listen to Tony Evans, which I love. But God just, you know, hey, he still was with me. I felt he was with me every night, and he's still with me.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And shame on them. But, go ahead, sir.
Quiet, minister.
Go ahead, sir.
Minister, come on, go ahead. How long?
No, I was going to wait on you, sir.
Okay. I wanted to do a little twist on this and kind of get back with the scripture of what the pastor was referring to. And when he was talking about the centurion, you know, the thing that grabbed me is faith. We're talking about under the authority, okay, being under the authority, that has to do with faith. Because, when I looked at this, we're talking about what he did was he believed that an incurable disease could be healed in his last stages at a distance. It wasn't that he had to go somewhere to get healed, but his faith strong enough to believe that his humble, this prayer, the readiness of his humbleness to believe that this prayer could be answered at a distance.
Just say the word.
In terms of where are we? Where is our faith?
Now that's faith.
We believe the situations that we see, you know, that we see that God can handle whatever we go through at a distance.
At a distance. My God.
Or do we have to be in the midst? So I really wanted to kind of piggyback off of that, Pastor. That was the thing that grabbed me, you know, in terms of just his faith. Here you're talking about a man who was had authority, and he was humble enough to believe that God could bless him at a distance. All he had to do, all he did was just say the word. You don't have to come here.
Mm-hmm. The word is good. Mm-hmm.
At a distance, well, it makes me think that the centurion had more faith in Jesus than some of those people that were following him and questioning him at every turn, like, who are you, or being surprised when he walked on, or being surprised when he healed people, because the centurion realized the power and the authority of the spoken word, that he knew. Said that I tell them to go, they go. I tell them to come, they come. I tell them a chore, like they do what they've been told to do, because he's doing it with the authority that he has to use to use his voice. But Jesus doesn't have to be in sight. But Jesus has the authority of the word from the Father, to speak it. He would not be there. And isn't this the only case, the only situation, miracle, where Jesus was at a distance and performed the miracle? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, you know, to me, it all depends on what you mean by a distance, because when his friend Lazarus, I call him his brother, but he was out of the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. He was at a distance. He didn't lay hands on him.
But
so, you know, it all depends.
Go to.
So to
but
me,
he went to
to
this one, right? You're right. That was with Lazarus. He didn't lay hands on him. So,
yeah. So you know, it means. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
So it all depends. You know, what's your definition of distance?
That would have been a distance too. But what I was seeing was that the centurion recognized the authority that Jesus had, that even that he could just speak it and it would be done. He recognized this was, even though some of the other folks didn't, even though some of his followers didn't really, they weren't really sure, some of them were.
And another thing I see that he had to humble himself as he had a superior position of authority. But even some people get so much pride, like our president, that they think that they're excluded from being. He once said, our president once said he doesn't apologize for anything. And sometimes people, when they have this authority, they have too much pride and they're egotistical, and God has to bring them down. Because they don't believe in humility. But if you humble yourself before the mighty hands of God, he'll lift you up in due time. So you don't have to be all puffy and huffy and not have narcissism in your heart. If you follow what thus says God, he can speak the word, like even this disease that we have, the coronavirus. God can speak the word, and somebody in somebody's heart, somebody's mind, to come up with a solution, because God has all the solution to the problem. So we have to continue to pray that God will touch the heart of somebody, the mind of somebody, because all he has to do is speak the word, you know, and a lot of people will be healed.
You know, I just want to piggyback off Elder John, too, about the centurion, about his faith. And his faith, Jesus didn't have to go anywhere, just speak the word like all of you are saying, but his faith. And I'm thinking about when the scripture talks about, we haven't seen Jesus, but it's our faith to believe that he exists.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen God, but it's our faith to believe that he exists. So without any real concrete, you know, that tangible thing, we first must believe before we can receive anything. So salvation, we have to believe. Faith in knowing that he is who he is. And I like that, because the centurion, he said, just speak the word. You don't have to go where I'm going. Just speak the word. And for us, even coming to Christ, we first have to believe that he can. He is who he is. That's faith, in believing someone that, amen. Amen. You know what? I also wanted to address about the, never mind, I'll come back to it if we have time. Praise God.
Yeah,
but we have to believe that he is. Before anybody that is unsaved to be saved, they have to believe.
Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we must have faith in him to do the impossible, because we are limited on this earth. Even our resources are limited. So we have to have faith that God promises, which is in his word, is truth. And he is the truth.
But we're in authority, under authority. So that is unlimited in my thinking. So we can call anything. You know, as long as we continue to be obedient and humble unto God, we can call those things. We can call the angels. We can call it. He's given us that authority. He says, I give you the authority to say it. Believe it, say it. So we need to stretch more. Believe more.
I think you want fire like me.
And exercise the authority more. I'm done.
I think you want fire too.
I'm so done. To tie this back in terms of the topic, in terms of power under the authority.
A good word.
What Pastor Miles was saying, I think that when we pray, you know, and if we're looking at the centurion, he had a humble, he was ready to respond in a humble way to prayer, in a humble way, but his faith was strong enough to believe, you know, that the slave could be healed. This was an incurable disease, but it could be healed. But he had humility because he had authority, but he knew that there was authority over him as well. You know, so I love this topic. I mean, you know, the
this
title that was addressed here.
It's great.
We are running close. We are running out of time. I'm going to move back over to New Jersey, and Pastor Miles, we're going to turn it over to you. You know, in our closing, any closing comments?
Well, the only thing I want to say before anyone get off the line. And brother moderator, I hope it don't go too long, but I have to do it because it's in my spirit. Does anyone have any question that they want to present to me now? And the reason why I'm asking of that, I had a young man many years ago. He had a question about me about baptism, and I told him what I could tell him, but I had to get away from him because I was on my job. And I felt kind of bad because he knew what baptism was. He gave the Lord his life, and he was baptized. He was did the confession, and then found out later. But the next time I saw him, not knowing that had taken place, he was laying in his coffin.
My Lord.
So I'm asking of you right now, anybody on this line, have anything that they want to say to me, questions, concerns, any of that, please ask it now, because that will never happen to me again.
Amen. Somebody's talking, but they're breaking up.
Okay, this is Minister Washington saying, I really enjoyed today's topic. God bless you, and love him out.
Thank you. We're going to give it back to God for what you came from. If all hearts and minds are clear, I'm going to pass it over to Brother Moderator so that he can go do what he do, and I'm going to steal his thunder. I love you, but God loves you best. Brother Moderator's in your hand.
God bless you, sir. It was great.
You took that from me. Thank you for joining
us. Now get a new one. At least for tonight.
We do thank you for tuning in. Once again, those of you who are online as well as those of you who are listening by internet. Again, if you want to go back and share this with a friend, or any one of the messages that's been on, go into Blog Talk Radio, then you type in We Can Begin Again, and you can retrieve any of these and listen to it over again. Isn't it good to add a distance, you can have someone share the word of God.
Yeah.
At a distance. You don't have to be in front of them. At a distance.
That's right.
God can bless them just by listening to this message through the archive. So let me remind you again, it's Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Good night.
Amen.
Just fun.